Straight talk from the Fed chairman has poured a dram of certainty into an uncertain world. I'm David Brancaccio, guardian of interest rates in chief. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is testifying today at the Senate Banking Committee. Powell was in front of a House committee yesterday where he made some uncharacteristically blunt comments on interest rates. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Usually when Chair Powell is asked about what the Fed will do on interest rates, he's kind of vague, saying it all depends on the data. But at a House Financial Services Committee hearing yesterday, Powell said when the Fed meets on interest rates in about 2 weeks, he'll be inclined to propose and support an interest rate hike of a quarter percentage point. The Fed is considering increasing rates to lower inflation. People and businesses spend less when they have to pay more to borrow. That cools off the economy. Powell told the committee,
"Inflation is too high. We understand that, and you know we're working on it. It's going to take some time, but we're going to get it back under control." By the way, we're seeing this everywhere in the world. We're seeing it more in the United States because our economy is stronger.
But there is a big caveat: Ukraine. Powell said the effect of the war in Ukraine on the U.S. economy is highly uncertain, and the Fed will be monitoring the situation closely. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Yesterday, after Powell spoke, the Dow rose 1.8%, 596 points at the close. Today, Dow futures are down a tenth percent. Crude oil up another 2.75% in New York now to $113 a barrel. That's close to where it was in 2011. The average cost of gasoline is up at $3.73 a gallon, according to AAA, but regular in Los Angeles and San Francisco is close to $5 a gallon. There's an index of global commodity prices called the S&P GSCI. That is up 16% since just before Russia's invasion. There hasn't been a week like that for commodities since 1970. Here's a piece. Together, Russia and Ukraine had been supplying more than a quarter of the world's wheat. As Marketplace's Savannah Marr reports, the Middle East and North Africa will feel that intensely.
The price of wheat was high to begin with, thanks to pandemic supply chain issues, high input costs for farmers, and extreme weather in some wheat-producing countries. Now, with two of the world's top exporters at war, prices have surged to a 14-year high. And some of the largest importers of Russian and Ukrainian wheat, many of them in the Middle East and North Africa, are bracing for even higher prices and potential shortages. In Egypt, bread is such an important staple that the government subsidizes it. But surging wheat prices could test that system. They could also set off political unrest, according to Monica Marks, a professor of Middle East politics at NYU's Abu Dhabi campus. She says tensions are already simmering in the region over the rising cost of food and could boil over if wheat-based staples like bread become unaffordable or limited in supply. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
A new report from the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia finds that in the 15 months following the onset of the pandemic, employers became more open to hiring people based on what they can do and have become less hung up on formal education. This opens up new opportunities for those without a bachelor's degree. I spoke to Patrick Harker, president of the Philadelphia Fed. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me.
What do you make of this? It looks like you may not need all the education you once needed to find a job these days.
So what we found is that the recent volatility in the labor market brought on by the pandemic, of course, has affected a lot of things, including employment opportunities for non-college job seekers, people who have not completed a four-year college degree. We've seen a lot of postings increase, and I'll give you one example of that. If you look at five quarters before the pandemic hit and then the five quarters after the pandemic hit, there were 2.3 million more postings for jobs that pay above the median wage in this country, a little over $36,000, that are accessible to workers without a four-year college degree. Much of that increase was due to companies looking for workers and reducing their educational requirements. However, about 38% of the increase of 2.3 million jobs was companies lowering those educational requirements.
Okay, so I'm starting to understand this. I mean, you're saying a significant number of the job postings are because the employers, in the face of a labor shortage, are saying, okay, well, we'll try giving this to someone who doesn't have that college degree.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, we've seen this trend before, and that's just accelerated through this pandemic. Companies are now looking and saying, yeah, do I really need the proof of that credential, or do I really look for a proof that you have the skills necessary to do the job?
Is this a feature of late 2021, early 2022, and the standards will snap back up, or could this persist?
That's a good question. We don't know exactly the answer to that question right now. I mean, it is cyclical. We've seen this in the past when labor markets get really tight, educational requirements come down. So how much of that will stick through the recovery from the pandemic? Not sure yet. My sense, and I can only say my sense, is some of it's going to stick because, again, there was this longer run trend of companies already looking to do skills-based hiring.
And again, I mean, you're using a certain phrase, skills-based hiring. You're not saying lowering standards. That's a different thing.
No, it's a different thing. Instead of saying I have a college degree and a certain credential, I can prove I know how to do certain things, right? I know how to code, or I know how to wire a house as an electrician. There's certain things I know. And again, there's credentials you can earn along the way, sort of micro-credentials to prove a specific set of skills. But the overall, you may not need a four-year college degree to prove that.
Patrick Harker is president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. Always good to catch up.
Same here.
And what, Brancaccio? You didn't ask a Fed bank president about interest rates given Russia-Ukraine? I did. He's for a 0.25% hike mid-month, but wants to keep a bigger 0.5% increase, at least on the table for later, if necessary. You can consult the Marketplace homepage later if you missed that part on the air this morning. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.